Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. And my point about MetLife Stadium is simple. I don't see why you build a $1.6 billion open-air stadium. Because $1.6 billion, we know, gets you a retractable roof. I believe Cowboys Stadium's $1.2 billion.
And they have a big TV.
Yeah, but the bottom line is that's you know, that when you pay that kind of money, that's what you get. And I think they lose out on a lot because they can't get the Final Four. They can't get an NCAA regional. They can't be in the Super Bowl rotation on a regular basis. There are a lot of things they don't get by doing what they did. Now, they have, obviously, tenants that take up between the Giants and the Jets. That stadium is in use every weekend from the beginning of August until the end of December. And that includes a college football game here and there. That's where Penn State will open the season. They'll open with Syracuse at MetLife Stadium. Our number 1-800-795-9565. Our show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. You can go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Hilscher's General Store Hotline is open at 1-800-795-9565. You can go to www.hilscherstore.com. So Bernard Pollard says the NFL's future is bleak. The overnight rating on the Pro Bowl, which is a nothing game, at a 12.5. The World Series, 12.7.
What's an average? You had mentioned this before. What's an average NFL game now, or even a primetime game? Because that was a primetime game.
It was 19 or something like that. 18, yeah. 19.
I still say 12's higher than I expected.
No.
it's higher than I expected.
It's exactly what I thought it would be.
No, I didn't think it would be that high.
Football. It's football. There's nothing else on.
I mean, I tried. I tuned it in for a few minutes, and it was like, yeah, I'm done. I had it on for a couple of series, and it just, yeah.
12.5. World Series is 12.7.
Somebody asked me, why don't you like the Pro Bowl? You love football so much. And I don't know. It's just hard to get. There's something about the game that just, I don't know, that particular game just doesn't intrigue me.
Why? You didn't place a bet on how long the national anthem was going to be?
No. Sadly, maybe if they made a special rule for the Pro Bowl, I might be interested. But again, that's changing football then. So I don't know. I'd like to see if you're down 3 touchdowns or more, the team that's ahead has to kick off, or has to, or you get the kickoff back. Like, if you score and you're still down 3 touchdowns, you don't have to kick away. The team that's ahead kicks back to you. I realize that's way off the rocker. I get that. But it's just something. When that game got into the 50s, it was like, I don't want to tune it in.
Bernard Pollard says the NFL's future is bleak. Now, this, of course, is from a player who's absorbed his fair share of fines for illegal hits. Now, I want to point out, though, that the hit he made on Stephen Ridley, which was helmet to helmet, correct?
It was.
Was legal.
It shouldn't have been.
It's a legal hit.
Really?
He is not a defenseless player.
That is a legal hit.
That was a legal hit.
So what do they define as a defenseless player?
Well, you go up as a receiver to get the ball. You're up in the air trying to get the ball, and you get nailed.
So you can continue to spear players in the NFL as long as they're not defenseless.
He didn't say he speared them, but he hit him helmet to helmet on that play. He is not a defenseless player.
Wow. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, no, it was a legal hit. So he makes his statement about the NFL. And when you look at the NFL, it's 93 years old. It has gone through transition. Helmets have changed. Face masks are now in. Padding has changed. He talks about the bigger, faster, stronger athlete. They're going to get bigger, faster, and stronger. No, you top out at that after a while. Let's talk about faster. Okay? Look at the combine numbers. How many times do you look at the combine numbers and you are disappointed when you say, what do you mean? They told me he's the fastest guy in the SEC. He's a 4.52. Uh-oh. You're not seeing guys going out there knocking out 40 reps at 225 pounds. So that doesn't, so things like that, you may have more guys now that can knock out higher numbers of reps at 225 pounds at a combine. You'll probably see some better speeds overall, but you're talking about fractions here. And there hasn't been a Deion Sanders that's come into the league that's a 4.2 guy. Who's that? Just not there. Now, you have to remember, this is coming from Pollard, who has been penalized and fined over the years because he's a fundamentally unsound player. You say, how can you say that? Look, you're taught to square, wrap, and bring down. He leads with the shoulder or the helmet a good chunk of the time. He is not a fundamentally sound player.
There are a lot of players in the NFL that are doing a lot of shoulder tackles or the bounce off me tackles.
Well, exactly. And look, professionals do not set a good tone for young players.
No, you're not kidding.
The NBA is the worst. College coaches spend a chunk of their time early in players' careers breaking them of habits that they see in the NBA because they're fundamentally unsound. You know, they're pros now. They're going to get away with whatever. They've been able to get away with their natural talent their entire life. Thus, they're fundamentally unsound. A lot of guys that tackle in the NFL, I'm talking especially the secondary guys, just are lousy tacklers fundamentally. Lousy tacklers fundamentally. It's something that has to be taught early on. There need to be seminars to allow youth league coaches to teach how to tackle. And so the league, if the NFL has grown in popularity steadily since the 1958 NFL championship game between the Giants and Colts at Yankee Stadium, to the point where the AFL was then formed, CBS had a $14 million contract that they signed for 2 years with the NFL in 64-65. NBC was able to get a contract away from ABC and do the AFL, which led to the Super Bowl, which has now led to what we see now. The NFL will go through. Now, there's certain things, for example, I know they've talked about the kickoff. Kickoff's got to stay. It's part of the game. It's also part of the strategy at the end of a game. College football had the right idea. I like the college rule a lot where the ball comes out to the 25-yard line and a touchback. And let me give you an example of you have to use the rule to your benefit. When Penn State was playing Virginia, Adrian Amos took the ball 2 yards deep in the end zone, ran it out to the 27-yard line, and it really was a great return the way he picked his way through and he absolutely got the max out of it. So it was a 29-yard return to the 27-yard line. So in terms of how he ran the return, great. But what's the smart play? Smart play would have been to 2 yards deep, take a knee, time runs off the clock, and you get the ball at the 27. They lost seconds at the 25. They lost seconds, and they lost 2 yards in the exchange of him trying to bring it back. But the NFL getting to the 20-yard line is a relatively easy proposition with the speed that's on the field. Thus, even 6, 7, 8 yards deep, you'll see players bring the ball up. Kevin says it's ego.
I think there's a lot to do with it there.
No, I totally disagree with you. Okay? If you can get the ball, your job is to get the ball past the 20-yard line. In the NFL, that's an easy mark to do. That's your job, to get the ball out past the 20-yard line. That 5 yards makes a difference. The NFL should consider it. Touchbacks of the 25. Now, defensive coordinators aren't going to like that.
But look at how many guys are bringing it out from 8, 9 yards deep in the end zone now, now that they've moved the kickoff. They're still bringing it out deep into the end zone.
Yeah, but that's not my point. You can make the 20-yard line.
I understand.
From there, okay? Now it becomes a more difficult, different proposition if you know you're going to make the 25 to make it pay off.
But no,
you can't make the 25-yard line consistently. You're going to lose your job on kickoff returns.
Let me take this in another direction from the kicker standpoint. If you move it out to the 25 and guys are consistently starting at the 25-yard line because the kicks are going into the end zone or they're kneeling down, do you start to kick it short?
Because, well, do you want Devin Hester running it?
Well,
Randall Cobb?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Cribbs? Cribbs a great returner. Washington's a great returner. Cribbs with the Browns. Washington with the Seahawks. Randall Cobb with the Packers.
I mean, I might chance on squibbing one. Squib it deep. I mean, you're not going to squib it into the second row, but I mean, I'd be willing to squib one down the middle. Squib it deep. Give your kick return team or a kickoff coverage team a chance to get down there before you can get a running start.
Well, if that's the case, why aren't they doing it now?
I liked it. That's a great question. But I think at this point, with it being the 20-yard line, it's like, you know what, if we kick it through, it's the 20-yard line. I think I think 5 yards in your mind right now seems like an awful lot to start at the 25-yard line.
I think 5 yards makes a difference in terms of you returning it.
Although I will say this, the more I watched through college season this year, the more I liked it. I didn't really like it at first, because I think it took an element of the game away and it made it a little less fun. However, I do like that idea for its intent, which I think is as a safety issue.
In other words, the kickoff is still there. You still have the element of surprise with the possibility of an onside kick. You still, at the end of the game, can still get an onside kick to retain possession. It still keeps that strategy in play. So that's why when I look at that rule as an example, I want to see the NFL keep it, but I want them to tinker with it a bit. I think that the NFL that we'll see down the road, there'll be no contact allowed between defensive back and receiver.
I'll be all right with that. That five-yard rule is tough to judge for an official, I think.
Sure it is. But look at like Navarro Bowman. People said, oh, there was contact. Oh, Bowman was there 4 yards. It was third down and four. He hit him right at his fourth down and four. He hit him right at the mark. It means he was a yard inside.
What about a weight limit?
A weight limit?
Yeah. No, I'm just throwing stuff out there that I know have been discussed at one point. I mean, you've got a lot of 305-pound guys running 4.5, 4.6.
No, you don't.
There's a lot of guys that are running. I'm exaggerating. There's a lot of quick 305-pound guys, okay? That's my point. I'm exaggerating at 4.5.
That run 5.1, 5.2.
Oh, that's pretty quick for three bills.
I understand that, but still, it's still 5.1, 5.2, 5.3. Come on. That's what quarterbacks run. Kaepernick and RG3 are outside the norm. Look, the game is going along fine. Just a couple subtle changes. I mean, obviously, equipment's going to make a big difference. And, you know, I think there's a lot more pressure, for example, on helmet manufacturers. Now, I did hear somebody say, you know, take away the face mask and you'll take away guys leading with their head. And that's true. But you also have to have some common sense.
You know, a bunch of guys look like hockey players.
Yeah, you have to have some common sense about it.
Well, let me, if I may, do you have another one, another idea you wanted to share before I shift it slightly?
I'd like to take a break since obviously between the two of us, only one knows the format.
Okay, that's great. Let's do that.
It's 22 after. Got to take a break. The worst thing you do is install a clock in here.
There's a lot of things that I'd do differently the second time around, but we won't get into that. That's a whole other hour.
Well, I won't be on the show a week from Wednesday, so you can take all the shots you want. Now, obviously, I'll be back on Thursday, so if I were you, I'd act like the ice is a little thin. today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Insuring your business is serious stuff. You don't need gimmicks or cutesy mascots or punchlines. You certainly don't want red tape. You just want the right coverage at the right price. We're as serious about insuring your business as you are about running it. Selective. Response is everything.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Purdy Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at purdyinsurance.com. Find out what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Hello, 2013. That means Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying customers for 98 years. I'd say if you need a recommendation on where to buy your next new vehicle, there's probably been 50,000 customers you could ask. Sunbury Motors Ford sold the most F-150 pickup trucks in the entire Philadelphia zone. They're the number one F-Series dealer. Unbelievable. SMC has 99 F-Series available starting at $21,954. If you're looking at awards, Sunbury Motors Hyundai ended 2012 as the number one Hyundai dealer in customer satisfaction in the Eastern Sales District. Sunbury Motors Hyundai has 23 Hyundai Elantras starting at $17,490. Sunbury Motors Kia wants to see you in a Kia, and now is the time to buy a 2013 Sorento with $3,500 off, plus 0% financing for 60 months. Sunbury Motors Lincoln is making American luxury affordable by discounting a brand new Navigator $10,100. Find your next new Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai, or Kia at sunburymotors.com or stop in Sunbury Motor Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf.
Wednesday on SJS, we're going to have Greg Cosell from NFL Films. That's to counter the OTM guest list. It's become a competition between us. Kevin brought up a point during the break.
Kevin, would you like me to elaborate on that? Okay. All right. My point was, I think instead of changing the NFL in 30 years, I think the NFL may have to change the way it draws people into the stadium, the way the game is not played but shown in the stadium. I think there's going to be some enhancements.
They started that this year, as a matter of fact. Because all the replays that you see on TV are now shown in the stadium.
Right.
That was the start of it. That's what they have to do. You have to make sure that your game does not become a studio game. This is where the Big Ten makes a mistake, where college football makes a mistake, okay, where they don't show controversial replays. Show the replay on the board. Let the whole stadium see it. Okay? You can't put your head in the sand all the time because you're worried about how officiating is perceived. Okay? Put it up on the board. Let people see it. You cannot make the game a studio game. Now, the one thing that is going to be difficult for the NFL to do, and I don't know if there's technology to do this within the stadium, how you can do it, that part I'm not well versed in. But I think people in the stadium would love to see the first down line.
Yeah, there's been discussion. Believe it or not, there has been discussion about that.
I mean, all the other lines, you know, how if he gets it to this line, he can kick a field goal. I really don't care about.
Okay.
Honestly, I don't care. But when it comes to the first down line, I think a lot of people in the stadium would love to see the first down line. I think if you put that in the stadium in conjunction with showing every replay, I think now you've succeeded in making the game worthy of going to, because now you add in the atmospherics and everything else that goes with it. College football needs to think the same thing. You need to put the replays, good or bad, up on the board. People in the stadium should have a chance to see what is going on and what they are looking at. I mean, it would add to the experience. The goal is to get people there.
I have two more ideas I'll share with you after the news, though. These are good.
Oh, boy.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome to today's show being brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm here in the Sunbury Motor Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motor Ski Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And the Hilshire store, Hilshire's General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. That is 1-800-795-9565. Go to hilshirestore.com. That's www.hilshirestore.com. Kevin now has two more ideas that will save the National Football League from making billions.
No. It's going to save. It's going to save them. They're going to make billions because more people are going to be in the seats. All right. One thing that always annoyed me is the delayed touchdown calls. Did the ball break the plane? Now we're going to review it. Now we're not sure. Here's the way to change that. You put three sensors in the ball. By the way, this has been discussed. This is not Star Trek far-fetched stuff. You put a sensor in both ends of the football and somewhere near the middle. Then when the ball breaks the plane, that way if it's angled, you know, if it's not angled forward, you know, point to point, it's angled sideways, you still have the sensors breaking the plane, and the referee gets signaled so they can automatically signal touchdown. Now, it doesn't eliminate replay, because you'll still have to see if the player's knee was down or if 2 feet were in bounds or whatever. But at least when they dive over the end zone line or dive to the pylon, you'll have a better look at whether the score had happened. And that benefits the stadium as well as the viewers on television.
Okay.
Now tell me why that's never going to happen.
I didn't.
No, I was just waiting. I thought you were going to tell me that. Here's the other one. Now, there are drawbacks to this one, but I think one of the best things the NFL has put together, and this is part of NFL Network, is the red zone channels. They have one for folks that buy Sunday ticket. They have one for cable as well. These are all look-ins at different games, usually when they're in the red zone. You have absolutely no television commercials in the entire thing. So if your team's not playing, a lot of folks will go, and a lot of people will be like me, will go to red zone and watch that constant NFL football, especially in the afternoon games, where they'll switch from game to game. Make that available inside the stadium on your phone or on your iPad or your tablet or whatever. Now, I realize the drawback here is the fact that you're not focusing on some of the advertising in the stadium, so they're going to have to figure out a way to make that part of the red zone in-stadium package.
Oh, boy. All right. That's not going to work.
I didn't say it was perfect.
No, it's not even going to remotely come close to working. Okay?
Okay. It's just not good. Why isn't that going to work?
Because you bought tickets to see that game.
Right.
It is during the break where you can show highlights of other games up there, and in halftime show highlights of other games. Between quarters show highlights of other games, have it sponsored, but not when the game is going on. Okay, it's your game. You paid your money to see that game. I mean, do you want an entirely distracted crowd?
No. I didn't mean to do it during the game. I think during the TV timeouts and breaks, I think that's the opportunity to do something like that. Now,
that's what I just talked about. You put it up on the scoreboard.
And that's fine if it's done.
Yeah, but you just show highlights. You can't do the red zone thing where people are like, hey, you know, they all want to. You can't do that. So that's not going to work at all.
And I think the real drawback is anybody that's been in any stadium, whether it be college or high school, knows that the data signals, let alone the cell phone signals, are not always the best.
But why do you want to watch other games when you paid to watch this game? You have 82,000 people at MetLife Stadium. I can tell you right now, 82,000 of them are diehard Giants fans. Okay, those games are hard. Those tickets are hard to come by.
I agree. Okay?
You want to be there because you want to watch the Giants. They're your team. All right? Red zone is for people that sit at home and, you know, and I think red zone's great because I have red zone. I have red zone on mine, and I've been able to get more out of watching red zone when it's in a time frame that of a game that I want to focus on. For example, say it turns out that Cleveland's playing Cincinnati and that's the early game in our area. And, you know, being in an AFC North territorial area, we would get Cleveland at Cincinnati if the Steelers weren't playing at the 1 o'clock hour. Say that's the game I get. And I don't want to watch that game. Okay? You know, I don't have DirecTV. Red Zone gives me an opportunity to really get a feel for what's going on in the league. But when I buy tickets to go to a game, I'm locked in on that game I'm watching in front of me. I bought the tickets. I paid for the parking. I want to see that game. I don't need to have some app on my phone where I'm like watching. Hey,
okay. All right. You're a Giants fan. The Giants need the Eagles to lose to make it into the playoffs.
Yeah.
They're both playing at the same time. You're watching the Giants game, and you're very interested in the Giants game.
No, I'm locked in on the Giants game.
So you're not worried at all about the other game?
That's why they put it up on the board. They have scoreboards there. Come on. You go to a Major League Baseball game, you have scores of every game up there. Okay? You can follow games. They'll let you know.
Yeah, but I never know who's pitching unless I really know the team inside and out, because all I have is the number.
I'm just saying. I know what's going on. I just don't. I think that idea is not a good idea. The chip and the football, maybe I can buy that. But that idea, bad idea.
But there are, I mean.
Bad idea.
But you have to admit.
Bad.
The way television is covering this, it's making it harder for the NFL to compete to get them in the seats and spend $100 a seat to do it.
Whoa. Who's not, I mean, most of the teams in the NFL sell out. Every ticket is bought at Heinz Field. Every ticket is bought at the Link. Every ticket is bought at Gillette Stadium. Every ticket is bought at MetLife Stadium. M&T Bank Stadium sold out. The Browns are sold out, for goodness sakes. These teams are all sold out. Now, who's struggling? Jacksonville. Okay? Carolina. Why? Their teams stink. Miami. Too much to do. Team stinks. The teams aren't very good. But look at Houston. They're sold out. Dallas, sold out. Kansas City, sold out. The Chiefs are lousy. They're sold out.
The Giants in 2011 were at 96% capacity. The Jets were at 95%. The Redskins were at 83%.
Right. Yeah, but that's people that showed up. You have 5% that won't show up that already bought tickets.
Yeah, I don't get that. I don't get.
People have lives, you know.
I know that, but if you're spending $100 a seat and you're not showing up for a game, and you're not even selling those tickets,
guess what? If there's an illness in your family, you're not feeling well, you can't make it, there's a family function going on, something. I mean, there are reasons why people can't make it. I'm having car trouble. I mean, there's a whole bunch of reasons you can't make it. Look, it turns out I'm 65 years old. I'm under the weather. I can't sit there on a December day and watch it. I mean, there are a lot of reasons why. You act as if 96% capacity. It's like they're sold out. For one thing, every ticket's bought. Okay, they're all bought. All those stadiums I just cite are bought. Okay, Jacksonville is not. Carolina is not. Boy, Oakland, everything in Oakland and San Francisco are. Seattle definitely is. Detroit, Minnesota, Green Bay, Chicago.
What's the average NFL ticket now? Do you know that off the top of your head?
No idea.
I mean,
No idea. But you have they made a big first step this year by getting replays in the stadium.
Sure.
Okay. College football needs to do that. You can't constantly protect these guys. Okay? Especially when they have the use of instant replay. I mean, if you're going to have instant replay, show it in the stadium. Let the fans see it. Okay. These guys were in a closed booth. Show it. Now, what the NFL needs to do is to somehow, with technology, give the fans within the stadium the first down line. I think that would be something that would, at that point, you're giving them everything they get on TV. Replays up on the board, first down line, plus you're adding in the atmospherics of being at the game.
All right, here's the point I was making. The average cost in 2012 for a ticket was $78.38. Let's just say $78. Mm-hmm. All right, $5 for a hot dog, $25 to park, and that's if you don't buy anything else. Mm-hmm. If you buy a soft drink, we'll add another $5. So you're spending almost $100, well, actually over $100 now, for one person to go to a game.
Mm-hmm.
When I can sit down in my comfortable chair, be just as loud and boisterous, and see better camera angles than I'll see at the stadium.
Then why is it when somebody comes up and says, you won't believe it, I got two tickets to see the Ravens. I got two tickets to see the Eagles. And they're all excited to go. Why?
At $100? I don't know. I really don't. That's my point. I don't see the $100. And if you want a family of four, you're talking almost dropping $500 to see a game.
Yeah, but the people that are going have means, all right? Okay, these aren't lunch pail people. Okay, that's why the atmosphere in stadiums is so different now. Okay, that's why, for example, when the Mariners were forced to go on the road for the rest of the season after a ceiling tile came down to the Kingdom, they went to stadiums, they went to ballparks, and people would pay a flat fee of $20, I think, a shot to see them play three additional games that weren't on the schedule, and they opened it up. They said the enthusiasm in the ballparks was unbelievable because suddenly you had people going to games that hadn't been able to go before, and on top of that, they were sitting in seats they never dreamed they'd be able to sit in. Okay, one time at Wimbledon, they never play on the middle Sunday in the fortnight. They never do. They never play in the middle Sunday in the fortnight. Except one year they had so much rain and the schedule was so backed up they were forced to. So what they did was they opened up the grounds. The players told you it was the greatest day going because real tennis fans got in, sat in, and got to sit in spots. First of all, they got in. Second of all, they're sitting in spots they never dreamed they'd be in. They said the enthusiasm, the juice was unbelievable. The problem is that you're getting the real passionate fan young in life, okay, they can't afford to pay the prices until they've made it, all right? So you're ending up with not quite the enthusiasm within the crowd that you usually see. You go, that's what makes college sports so great, the student section.
Sure, no
question. Student section's incredible when it comes to college football, college basketball. The student section makes all the difference. You know, and they're getting in for, you know, a relative fraction compared to the rest of the stadium. You know, you're talking about when people go to these games, you're talking about people with means. You know, they're not sitting there thinking about the average family of four. The average family of four doesn't go to an NFL game. Right? The average family of four picks out maybe a Major League Baseball game to go to. Average family of four is not sitting there going to an NBA game. I mean, you have more people with means, companies, things like that. You know, they're the ones getting a lot of tickets right now. That's why minor league baseball became as popular as it did in the mid-90s up until now. Because minor league baseball is definitely affordable to a family of four.
I loved minor league baseball, especially when the Phillies had the Scranton-Wilkes-Barre affiliate. It was really close for me.
Right. But, you know, people can go to that, and You know, but the people that go to MetLife Stadium, you know, I mean, the Jets have a different fan base than the Giants do. But it still is, you know, and for some people, hey, look, this is their entertainment outlet. This is where they focus it. Some people like to go to dinner. Some people like to go to movies. Some people save their money, and this is what they want to go to. Some people split the tickets. They'll split their season tickets with somebody along the way because, you know, they can't quite afford it themselves, but somebody else wants to go, so I'll go half, you go half. So there's a lot of ways to do it. And so when you look at the NFL, the vast majority are selling out or playing to 90-plus percent capacity. They're not falling apart attendance-wise unless the team that's in front of them is not very good.
Okay, but let me ask you this. How many of those tickets are corporate tickets and not individually purchased tickets?
What does it matter?
Well, it doesn't matter for as far as the team's concerned. I realize that.
Exactly right. What does it matter?
Because I would think the individualized tickets are going to get used a lot more often than corporate tickets, so that's why you have empty seats.
Well, corporate tickets can be given to the people within the company, workers. Hey, thanks for everything you've done. I want the entire company gets to go this week. You know, it's a tax write-off. That's fine. I think, what, 80% of it is? So, I mean, there's a lot of things that go into this. I think just making it an experience with the usage of high-definition scoreboards, usage of replay, okay, and also if they can figure out the technology putting the first down line in there, then the atmospheric, the feel, the tailgating, being in the stadium, being a part of it's important. Dick and Milton's on the line. Hi, Dick.
Hello, Steve. I haven't talked to you for a while, but I was outside, and I when I moved my vehicle, you guys were on talking about the price of tickets.
Yeah.
And listen, I would still go. I don't have my season tickets at Penn State anymore, but I had them from like 65 until about 5 years ago, but my mm-hmm. group still has them. And I spent a small fortune to go to Beaver Stadium every weekend. I mean, for one person, the ticket, Nittany Lion Club contribution. Now, we had a motorhome, and we had shares of a motorhome. But my point being is it's pretty damn expensive just to go to Beaver Stadium on a given Sunday, too, till you figure out all the expenses into it.
And that's exactly what I was talking about, was that, look, that it does that people of means are the ones going to the games.
Yep.
And that's the point I made, the, quote, average fan. That's why I pointed out the student section. I mean, you look at the student sections in stadiums and arenas on college campuses, they're the most enthusiastic group. Now, they pay a fraction of what everybody else pays, but I said my point was you're getting much more of a corporate crowd in today than you did years ago because, yeah, it is expensive to go to a game.
I really didn't hear the beginning of it. I actually was running my snowblower even in the rain. But make a long story short, I guess my point being is, I mean, I know what it costs to go to Beaver Stadium. I had season basketball tickets at Penn State. I have season wrestling tickets. That's the best bargain in the United States, $42 for the entire season.
For a season wrestling ticket.
That's
cheaper than one
right
football
now.
Game.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it is here. I mean, it's not a steal anywhere else. It is here.
Well, it is okay. There. And the other thing that kind of it doesn't because our group had motorhome pass and or a parking passes, but I think it's $40 is a lot to charge somebody for a single game parking pass at Beaver Stadium.
Dick, you can get it for $10. You just have to do it the week of the game and just do it online. If you just take
I didn't know that. I just know it's $40 if you go there. And they do let you park in North America. I mean, I realize that, but you're not close to anywhere.
Dick, I'll be honest with you. The parking at Beaver Stadium is much better than it is in most places across the country.
I've been around. We parked on the golf course at Michigan.
Yeah.
We're close to it. We weren't close.
And it's $40 to park at Michigan. Now at Penn State, if you drive up the day of the game, it's $40.
Yeah, but I still think that's a lot because I just think it's a lot.
Right.
I really do.
But you can get it for $10, Dick, by just going online and taking less than 5 minutes to go online, click through, and you can get a parking pass for $10. So if you're smart and do it in advance, then you don't have to worry about it.
Well, my group we have parking passes, so that's
right.
Kind of irrelevant in a sense to us. But I just know when people tell me it's $40, I'm thinking, holy mackerel, you know? Because I mean, you know better than I do because you're there all the time. But parking's got further and further away from the stadium.
Yeah, it has.
I mean, the baseball stadium obviously
Yeah.
Took some of it, and, you know, it's just, you're just further and further away. But that's just
the way. The two things that took away from it would be the baseball park, no doubt. And the other one was the building of the Lion Country Visitors and Convention Bureau Center.
Right.
That took away as well. And I was always surprised, I really was, that when they took down Old Beaver Field, they didn't make that a parking area. And instead, they turned it into soccer fields. I was like, I was surprised by that. But, you know, I'm not in, obviously in the decision-making process. So,
yeah, I understand that. Well, anyhow, I hadn't heard you for a while. I listen on and off, and I don't always not necessarily have a phone at my. And I just I guess you maybe you were talking about the cost of going to Penn State football in addition to the professional sports is expensive. I understand that. I don't know how people afford it.
I
can't. You have to get there too. It's not like you know everybody doesn't live a block away from the stadium, so you know you got the cost of getting there, and relatively anyhow. But anyhow, I just know that Penn State's expensive, and you know by and large it's not going to get any cheaper because they need the revenue, obviously. So,
right.
So I do know that they came down a little bit on the contribution this year, I guess, for certain seats, upper deck seats, or the, I guess they.
Right.
They knock some of that off anyhow, but anyhow, so that's it. It's not going to keep my group away. It's not going to keep me away when I go anyhow. But anyhow, that's the story there.
Appreciate your perspective. Thanks so much.
See you, Steve. Bye.
All right, thank you. We'll come back, wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. We're at the beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 to 15 in Humbles Wharf, and the Hilsters General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565, powered by Hilsters General Store. Go to www.hilstersstore.com. Kevin has come up with several ideas to save the National Football League so far. One has merit.
No, in your mind, I like the other one. I realize it's going to be a little tougher, but the first down marker, the laser first down marker, a former football player and Pat Summerall, the broadcaster, actually have combined to work on this company. And what it'll do is it'll use the markers on both sides of the field, project a laser, a greenish, we'll call it, laser across the field.
Good, I like it. And as long as the fan, as long as it enhances the fans' experience there.
I think it helps out the official, too.
No, I'm not worried about the official. That's why, you know, you have chains. Those are unofficial things. You have chains. That's why you have it. That's the official mark. So the officials can't. In fact, the officials, one of the things I get concerned about is that they'd be swayed by it.
Well, but if this laser beam is across both of the first down markers on both sides of the field, there shouldn't be an issue.
It's an unofficial mark. Okay.
Unless the guys are in the wrong, the guys holding the chains are in the wrong spot.
It's still an unofficial mark. It's still an artificial. You still have to come out and measure the thing. You may be an inch off one way or the other.
Well, that's true.
And you have to remember, there's only one set of chains that's the official chain.
Right, right.
There's one set. Okay. Now, what happens if the guy on the other side sets up 2 inches to the left?
He gets fired.
That's why you hate this show.
I think you should be able to tweet to your coach the next play you want that you want called. Now that would get people in the stands.
They serve alcohol at the games you do, don't they?
Sometimes? No, not at all.